Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 225, 1, 2, and 3. How dear to me, O Lord of hosts, the place where thou dost dwell, and the tabernacles of thy grace in pleasantness excel. My spirit longs, yea, even faints thy sacred courts to see. My thirsting heart and flesh cry out, O living God, for thee. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 225.
portion of God's word that we wish to read this morning. You can find recorded in the Song of Solomon and thereof the second chapter. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2. But before we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Chapter 2 of the Song of Solomon. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break, and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning William and Tina Arnold-Dusen, who have received a well-born boy in this past week, which is actually still yet in the hospital. Alex and Megan van der Breinhurst, also from the Calgary branch, who have received a well-born girl. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, great and eternal Lord, thou who dost dwell in the midst of all thy saints in glory, thou who dost dwell in the midst of all the angels who serve thee day after day, thou didst dwell for a short time here upon this world, and it was the great privilege of thy disciples and that church here below that they may walk with thee for a short time here below, thee in whom dost dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then there was a great and sweet communion. O thou who art ascended on high, and who dost today sit on the right hand of glory, thou dost command thy church to remember thee, because we do forget thee days without number. We wander away from thee so quickly. Oh, that thou wouldst come to dwell among us with thy Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, so that we also may taste a little, enjoy a little, undeservedly of that blessed communion, which thou dost give unto thy true church. Oh, then we are so undeserving of the least of all thy notice or attention. But thou dost do it for thy great and holy name's sake. And thou dost command it of thy church because it is thy own desire. Oh, that thou may give those desires also to well up in the heart of thy church in this morning hour, that they who do love thee, who do say, whom have I in heaven but thee, and who upon earth do I desire beside thee, oh, that they may be brought forth in truth. Oh, that all that does hinder them may be taken away. For thou knowest the many voices that are inside of thy people here below and in this morning hour. But oh, that they may receive an eye to look upon thee in all that thou hast accomplished and upon thy finished work, that it may be to them food and drink in this morning hour, and that thou wouldst visit us with thy salvation, and wilt thou give, and that those who make a mistake, those who deceive themselves. Oh Lord, could it please thee to uncover unto ourselves, because to go in such a way over this world with a false hope that will be exposed in the end of our life shall be such an awfully terrible thing. Oh, could it please thee to give that a single eye, because when our eye is single, thou dost say, then our whole body shall be full of light. But otherwise, it is so full of darkness. And then we walk in our own way. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art ready also to forgive all hypocrisy and all sinfulness, give us then to come uprightly before thy countenance. And wilt thou look upon all the needy? For thou knowest those who do stand afar off in this morning hour. Lord, thou knowest their heart and all that lives within them. Oh, we cannot bring ourselves in, but oh, that thou thyself may remember them from thy high and holy place, and that thou wouldst visit the afflicted, that thou wouldst visit those that are poor. Wilt thou remember all those who cannot help themselves? And wilt thou care for those that cannot be here also in this morning hour? For thou knowest all the cares and all the needs. So much sickness that does go through the congregation also. Lord, that thou may remember all that are sick, and give health and strength unto them again, and give that in the places where many may listen in this morning, by church telephone, that thou wouldst be unto them a little sanctuary in the places where that thou hast driven them, and that thou wouldst visit them also in those places. Remember those families that have received in the week gone by healthy children. O Lord, thou art the giver of life, and thou hast spared mothers and children alike. Give what is necessary for the child that remains yet in the hospital, and wilt thou give unto the parents humble and thankful hearts, and wilt thou strengthen further that they may recover strength, and that thou may give that the children may be born to be born again. Oh, give in this morning also to our children hearts that may stand in awe, that they may be given to see something, and not only to see it, but give them to feel it. Oh, give that love to be born in their hearts, and a holy jealousy in the days of their youth, not only just to sit at that table of the Lord, but that they may receive that blessed, blessed portion of thy true church, and that they may receive a place by thee. Oh, look upon them in the days of their youth, and give them to remember so their Creator, and before that the evil days come, remember all that have grown old, those that are in the nursing home, and all that are cared for by family and others. Wilt thou supply in old age, and when the fears of death do increase, and many ailments of mind and body are upon them, and that thou may supply out of heaven thy dwelling place. And wilt thou give that in the last years, that thy grace may be planted in their hearts, that their hard hearts may be broken, that they may be melted before thee, and that they may be given also
to enter into that kingdom before that it is forever too late. And wilt thou look upon us in this morning? Lord, give us strength for the labors that thou dost place upon us. Give us wisdom. Give us clarity. Give us thy spirit. Oh, visit us, Lord, that we also may receive what is necessary to bring forth food and drink out of thy holy word, and that thou may give, that the meek may eat and be satisfied in our midst in this morning hour. Forgive and take away all of our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 115, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee, and for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 115. And the last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found by continuance in that portion that was read to you, the Song of Solomon, the second chapter, the fourth verse. Song of Solomon 2, verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. So far the words of our text. The bride brought to the banqueting house first, the place where that she was brought. He brought me to the banqueting house. Second, the person who brought her there. He brought me to the banqueting house. And third, the communion which she experienced there, which we hope to consider and may we also experience at that table of the Lord. And his banner over me was love. Thus the bride brought to the banqueting house, first, the place where she is brought, second, the person who brought her there, and third, the communion which she experienced there. He brought me to the banqueting house, thus a banqueting house. The bride makes a comparison. She compares the sensible love of Christ to a banqueting house, that is, to a house of feasting, where she may eat, where she may drink, a house of wine, a house of feasting, that is a special place, a house of feasting, and that is made for a very special time. It is made for times of communion. It is made for times of rejoicing together. Thus, we also may have such times from day to day, hopefully, among our own families, when we may gather together three times a day, where we may eat and drink together. But a house of feasting, a banqueting house, you understand that is a house that is especially made for these occasions. It is especially prepared just for such a communion. It is especially furnished for such a communion. And the goods they are laid out, it is supplied for such a communion, much preparation, so that there is nothing that is lacking in that banqueting house, that purpose may be realized. There is such an abundance that is laid up in Christ for his people. There is sufficient to feed his entire church. That is a multitude we read in God's word that no man can number. And when each of them is finished, then there shall be plenty that is still left over. Neither is there anything so sweet, neither is there anything so delightful, neither is there anything so nourishing than such a banquet, because there are great and there are liberal things that are laid up for that church of God. Isaiah, he calls it a feast of fat things, of wines on the lees, of fat things, he says, full of marrow, that is, full of substance. He says, of wines on the lees that are well refined. Solomon portrays here a rising degree of enjoyment because we have considered that bride. And that bride, we have seen that she has been sitting under that apple tree. And then she has considered her beloved to be so singular, to be as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. And there is good cause for this, because she has experienced something of him, because she has been given to sit under his shadow, because she has felt something of that relief from the burning heat of the sun, because she has tasted something of the sweetness of the fruits of his own mediatorial work. Oh, that law that was to her burning, that law that was to her condemning, and he has been seen by her and felt by her, experienced by her as a shield. Oh, then she has been given to delight herself a little in those fruits that she has received out of all that he has accomplished. And now it rises, we read, to a greater degree, because she may sit for a moment under that tree, and she may taste a little bit, and she may receive just a little bit of those fruits. But now we read that he is going to give to her a more abundant measure, because he will bring her out from under that apple tree, and he will bring her even into the banqueting house. Thus, the banqueting house, they are special times. And they are special seasons in the life of God's church, that it is not a young people just speaking outwardly of the table of the Lord when it speaks about the banqueting house, but it speaks about something else in the first place. Then it speaks about a communion. It speaks about the Lord drawing his own children, that they may dine with him, that is, in a spiritual way, and that they may partake of all of that food and that drink, that they may be nourished by him, that they may enter in a little into the blessed mysteries of the mediatorial work of his only begotten Son. And indeed, the Lord's Supper that has been instituted by him also for this purpose, and that is instituted by him that it may be for his church as a banqueting house. Thus the Lord, he has a design in it. The Lord, he has a purpose in it, that also from time to time, and that church may be given to gather even in an outward way, and that the Lord, he does prepare for them a feast of fat things, of wines on the lees that are well refined. When that supper is commemorated, then it is always commemorated in connection with the Word. Then it is not as in the Roman Catholic Church, and that a priest can just come and give the Mass. No, but that supper that is in connection with that Holy Word of God. And now it is that Word of God which has become to that true church a banqueting house. Oh, then we have to ask you in this morning, has that Word of God ever become for you such a banqueting house? There is much in it. There is food in that Word of God for those who receive a spiritual hunger, for those who receive a spiritual thirst. And then there is not only plenty of that spiritual food, but there is such a variety. Then there is milk, we read in God's Word, for the babes, for the smallest ones, for those who have just entered into life, that they may drink of that milk of the word. And then there is also meat for those who are stronger. Oh, we read in God's word that it is hidden manna, that there is hidden manna in that word for those who must travel through the wilderness of this world. That manna that is sweet, we read in God's word, it is like wafers made with honey. It is sweeter than honey, and also even than a honeycomb. It is very pleasant, but it is also very wholesome. It is that which can nourish the soul of God's children as they are going through this world. It is that by which that new life can receive the strength to go forward in that journey here below. That word of God, a banqueting house. What does it speak about? Oh, it speaks about the Son of God. It speaks about the mediator. It speaks about the beloved of the Father, and that he was sent by the Father. And it speaks about also the application of that Son by the Spirit of the Father. Oh, that is the Son. That is the substance of that whole word. It is the Alpha. It is the Omega of the salvation of the poor. It is the food for the faith of God's true church. And thus we ask you, have you ever eaten? Did you ever drink out of that word of God? Because if that word has never become to us food and drink, if it has never become for a moment a feast of fat things, oh, then we have to say that you should not come unto that table of the Lord, because this is the substance of that communion with God's people. In that word is revealed his covenant. That covenant that is a banqueting house for that true church that is now sufficient to keep a people alive who are dwelling in the midst of death. A banqueting house. The covenant, we find it already in the name of that covenant. Do you know what it is called, children? It is called the covenant of grace. It is a covenant of mercy. Or it is fit, we read already in the name, for those who are most miserable. It is fit for those who are the most undeserving. Grace, that is the sum, that is the substance. It is suitable to every man who finds himself guilty and who is not able to stand before that judgment seat of God. Oh, here is a banqueting house. Here is a fullness. Here is a store of goods that may be experienced by the church like the storehouses of Joseph, which are full. The covenant, the name of that covenant, the covenanting parties, who are they? Oh, that is, our young people know it. It is the Father and the Son. That is a banqueting house. Did it ever become a banqueting house to you? The parties of that covenant of grace, because that is a feast to a church who is famishing. God the Father and God the Son, that is not like the second party of the first covenant. They are not like Adam. They are not like man who was able and who also fell. But these parties of that covenant, that is God the Father and God the Son, and God is not a man that he should lie. Oh, there is no sin. There is no sin that is able to overturn that covenant. There is no sin that is able to keep that people out of heaven. There is so much that is surprising to that church the longer that they live. Surprising that they find indwelling sin such as they had never thought could have existed in their heart. And the longer that they live, the more surprises that they get. But that there is nothing that is a surprise unto the Lord, because that foreknowledge of God that is going back even to that never begun eternity, and there already that covenant was sworn. It was sworn on a foundation. It was sworn on a basis that is of the good pleasure of the Father. It was sworn on the basis of the merits of the Son. No, it was not sworn on the basis of the merits of that people, of the goodness of that people, of the righteousness of that people, of the continuance of that people. That is all impossible, because there is no foundation upon which that church can be saved. Or after the flood, then we read that the Lord, He smelled a sweet savor. We read that in the Bible. What was that sweet savor? Well, we read that Noah, he built an altar. And he laid a sacrifice upon that altar. And then the Lord, He smelled a sweet savor. And then what did the Lord say? He said that He would no more destroy men from all the earth. And why? Oh, it was because of that sacrifice. Because He said, even though that the thought of man's heart is only evil from his youth. Or is that not a banquet, people of the Lord? Here is now a banqueting house for that soul that is not able to uphold himself. A feast of fat things, of wine on the lees, well refined, there is really no end. There is no end of that banqueting house, because that king, he has supplied a store. He has supplied a provision which is so much greater than that church can receive, so that they may eat and they may go away. And then we can read that the disciples, they have gathered up of the fragments. Or then there was so much that was still left over. Consider that meat. Consider that drink. What is it they are eating? What is it they are drinking? That is not just normal food, children. Like we do, we kill a cow, we kill a pig, we kill a chicken, and we eat it. What kind of food is that? That they may eat and drink? Or it is a sacrifice. It is not someone who was just slain, but it is someone who gave himself to be slain in order that he may be eaten, in order that he may be drunk. That is now the food. Or is that not now a banquet? A banqueting house for that true church. It is a sacrifice. A sacrifice that speaks of a love that is inestimable. Because a greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. What kind of friends are they? Well, Paul speaks about it. He says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is now those friends, sinners. Or is that not a banqueting house for that true church of God? He brought me to the banqueting house. And then there is communion there. Because when they may come in there, and when they may banquet a little, and they may enter a little into those mysteries, then they may eat a little, and they may drink a little, and they may commune a little in that banqueting house, because that is all given unto them from the Lord himself, and it is for a purpose that he may bring them in there, that he may speak to them, and that he may say to them that thou art mine, and there that bride she hears, behold, thou art fair, my love. And there then she may speak also unto him, or she may say, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Oh, that is now the purpose of the Lord in a banqueting house. He brought me to the banqueting house. No, she cannot bring herself into that banqueting house. We see that in our second thought. The person who brought her there, what do we read? We read, he brought me. That is a testimony of her impotency. That is a testimony that she did feel in her heart that she did not bring herself into this communion, that she had no power herself to give herself to eat and to drink of that sacrifice. In the first place, she had no right to it because she had sinned all that right away. And so that banqueting house that is filled with persons who are brought in by a special invitation, that is a great privilege because he is bringing in those whom he chooses. He is bringing in those into his communion and speaking unto the soul of those in that time according to his own sovereign good pleasure, and that he himself is choosing everything that is being done at the will and at that good pleasure of that king. Oh, there is none that knows better than he, because he is wisdom itself. And so what is the task of that church? What belongs to them? Well, it belongs to them to wait for him. That is what we read. Wait patiently for him until his time does come, and that he is looking, as it were, through the lattice upon his own church, and that he is making himself known in a further way by the revelations of himself. He brought me. That will be now the confession of every one of the true people of the Lord by the experience of their life, because the desires to come in there, they are very great, and the attempts to come into that house, they are also often very great, especially in the beginning of that way. Then there is a hungering, then there is a thirsting, but then there is also an experience that we do not have these things in our own control, and that it is from our side impossible to exercise that true, that living, that saving faith, so that when the Lord, he is bringing in to give, to eat, and to drink a moment, and then it is the confession of that people from the bottom of their heart, that this is now something that the Lord has done, that she will say, he brought me to the banqueting house. How? Oh, that is not by baptism. We are not brought into the banqueting house by a confession of faith. Those things they do not give access of themselves unto the riches of Christ Jesus. It is true, they are great privileges. They bring us so near. They bring us under the Word, in that place where the Lord commands us to come, that He may give to us the blessing. And yet, oh, then we may experience that, may we not? All our life, maybe many years, that you say that I have come under as a baptized member, as a confessing member. Oh, then I have heard, then my mind has understood, but I have never eaten and I have never drunk of that true food and drink. No. Baptism, confession of faith, that does not bring us in of themselves. Neither does a man decide at some given moment that he is now going to exercise that faith that is commanded in the Bible, because the Bible commands it, and therefore I must do it, and therefore I exercise that faith, and thereby I come into receiving those blessings of that kingdom. No, 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 a man and many do deceive themselves in such a way in this world, who have never eaten and who have never drunk, whose appetite has never been for that Son of God, because they have never been emptied. Oh, their cup that has never been turned over, that there has nothing been in it anymore. Oh no, a man, he does not decide in and of himself. He has no power. He learns he has no right. Oh, it is God Himself. God Himself that brings a man into that banqueting house. Oh, it is God Himself, by an act of sovereign love and good pleasure, already from eternity, and that has written the names of this people in His holy book. Oh, it is God Himself, in the time of His love, that is with His effectual calling, and within regeneration, and in true conversion, that He is bringing this people in. Oh, Christ Himself, He has purchased that place for them at that table, in that banqueting house. He Himself does give unto that people a right, but then it is only unto His own. Then He has not done that, He says. He says, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them whom Thou hast given Me. Oh, you say, how may I know that? Oh, He gives an appetite for Him. Oh, then He is cutting a man off from all his nourishment by the law. Then He is cutting a man off from all his nourishment that he has received, maybe for many years, by his human merit. And then He is making all his righteousness to be a loathsome and a stinking dish full of worms and maggots, so that He is repulsing it, that He is abhorring Himself in dust and in ashes. And then, oh, then He is giving him to eat. And then He brings him to the banqueting house, and then He gives him to eat flesh, and He gives them to drink blood, that is, of His only begotten Son. Then He makes them a feast of fat things, a feast that can give nourishment, a feast that has substance. Oh, then He shows them His covenant. And then He gives them to see that blessed interest that they have in that covenant. Oh, then He gives them that assurance that they are His own. Then He applies it to their soul. Oh, then He gives them faith in exercise, that they may receive these blessings unto themselves. Oh, a feast of fat things. So He is strengthening them upon that journey. Oh, then He is bringing them by times into that banqueting house, that they may travel a little further. a little further upon that journey of life until they may come into that place where they may sit round his table and where they may eat and they may drink forever and forever. Oh, then there are by moments here in this world, those times that he is bringing them in, so to eat and so to drink. They will be known in our life. They will be known in our private life. They will be known by our soul. They will be enjoyed by our soul. And now the Lord, he will give them also in a public way. He will bring them forth in a public way, that it may be for the entire church, that people that are not strangers of eating and of drinking, that they may make this confession before the entire church of the Lord, to say who that he is unto them, and that they may so commune with him according to his own commandment, that they may do this in remembrance of him. Oh, may the Lord therefore himself gather with us and grant us his communion. Amen. The form will now be read for the administration of the Holy Supper, which can be found on page 60 or 136 in the back of your Psalter.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, the verses 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ had ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather that it should go unpunished, he had punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he does believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he proposes henceforth to show through thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and has firmly resolved henceforth to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their own hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word, and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemies, all those who are given to raise discord, sexting, mutiny in church or state, all perjurious persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderous, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ had ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But as is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord had instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner we are to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he had fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterward suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and had also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and had humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, where he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this, my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross, and shed my blood for you, and I certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body, and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth, in remembrance of me. For this situation of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he had taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle said, "For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together. So shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who had so exceedingly loved us, and not only showed us in word, but also in very deed towards one another, here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen."
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more, with true confidence, give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, a true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully and deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted hands expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of His heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting. But we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with His body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of Him. While the table is prepared, let us sing from Psalter 439, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O Israel's God, how good Thou art to all the true and pure of heart. Though paths of saints are fraught with evil, Thou showest favor to Thy people. And what follows in 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 439. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. That is the word of Christ himself, who desires his own glory and who recommends himself unto his own church. It is a title given to him also by his own Father. For there is none to whom glory is owed in this world more than to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. And thus, also in this day, when he is even by way of continuance in this world, to the time that we live with our children, commanding his church once again to do this in remembrance of me. It is, as he says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Thus, what is our estimation of him? Is it the same estimation that he has even of himself? And so this table that is once again opened in the midst of us in this morning hour, and the call that is going out by the Lord himself unto those whom he also calls the lily of the valleys. He says, I know where that you are. He says, it is a lily that is among thorns. And so it is a church that is dwelling among the thorns, not only of persecution and outward trial and tribulation, but in the first place, that enemy of the devil himself. And how many times do they not have to deal with him who says that you do not love him, and because you do not love him, he does not love you, and that you are not one of his own. And so those many voices, and so those many questions, am I his or am I not? Do I love the Lord or no? And then we have heard it, that bride, she has a special estimation of him. She cannot say that her life is a good life. She cannot say that she is faithful. She cannot say that she does as she ought to do. But she can say, that my beloved, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. And now if that is our estimation of him, if it has ever become our estimation of him, if ever in our life, then our views of that blessed Son of God, because of all that he has done, have been raised within our hearts, that we have to say that he is the chiefest among 10,000. Then he says, do this in remembrance of me, and therefore come, for all things are ready. Congregation, there is still place. Then that bride, she has had to testify how that it was so, that he has become singular unto her. And then she says she experienced a little bit, just a little crumb of that shadow. And then he was a shield to me for just a moment. than I have eaten for just a moment of those fruits from that tree, that mediatorial work of Christ. Then I have seen something of its beauty when all of my beauty has faded away. Then for a moment, and then I have seen that there is no other way, and that it was also possible for such as I am. And so a hunger and a thirst has been born in her heart. Oh, must all of you then say, I have seen nothing. I have never seen any beauty and no preciousness in him. Never become comely. Never any form. Then we close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Thus the bride, she speaks about a banner. And what is a banner? A banner is that which is flown over an army. Thus she confesses that she is in the army. She confesses that she is at war. She confesses that sin that has become her enemy. At the same time, she confesses that she could not conquer it. She confesses that she could not fly under the banner of her own making. She could not fly under her own colors. She could not fly under a banner of human merit, of human wisdom, of human strength. When she warred against that enemy, then it was impossible. Then she was overcome. If there was only that which is of myself, then sin, then that remains. And there is nothing but condemnation. And there is nothing but continued pollution. And that means there is nothing but continued separation forever and forever. And now she says, his banner over me. Thus she confesses that she may now fight in that church militant. She may now fight under a different banner. It is a banner that it is of the Lord's own making. They are his colors. It is a banner, she says, of love. And that banner that gives her the victory in that warfare, that banner that was woven by the Father, that was already from eternity, a love we read in God's word, that he has loved them with an everlasting love. And thus it was a love by which election could take place, a love by which each and every one of those names were written in his book. And then he himself, the Father, he has woven that banner. He has designed the logo on that banner of love. And he has sent forth his Son to fly that banner. Oh, that is a banner. A banner, you know, when the victory is come, and then that banner that is placed in that land as a sign of that victory. And so Christ, as the captain of the salvation of his church, he is declaring with that banner his victory. He has placed that victory, that banner, on Mount Zion. There he says, I will dwell because I have desired it. Oh, the Son, that love that is the logo, the matter of that warfare, and that love wherewith he has given himself, the tokens, they are set before us. It was a love that has gone so far that it did not deny it, that it gave himself, that he denied himself even unto death, even the death of the cross, the suffering that we cannot imagine, not only of the body, but also of the soul in that garden, where his sweat that did become as great drops of blood falling to the ground. Oh, who can fathom that love wherewith he has loved his church, when he was ready to say to the Father, and now write all the sin of that church on my account, and I will suffer it, and I will pay for it. Oh, who can fathom that love, and that he gave himself even unto suffering, even unto death. And so the Son, he has set up that banner. The Son, he is flying that banner over his church. And now it is only by the Spirit of the Lord. And when the Lord is bringing us to an end of that banner of our own colors, and that the Lord, He is giving us to fight under this banner, that banner of love, oh, that is a banner that animates His church. What can more animate her to fight in that warfare than the consideration of the love and that all that He has done for them, because He has conquered them Himself. He has conquered their own heart by that love, so that their own love, when it may meditate upon all that He has accomplished, that may go out unto Him, oh, then there is nothing that more gives that church motivation to walk after His commandments and to love Him and to receive Him and to walk in a way of holiness, and then to consider that banner. So she says, His banner over me in that warfare that is love, because it is a warfare for her that is continuing. It is a banner that comforts her. It comforts her with the abundance of it, because that love that is as wide as the ocean, so that there is no lack in it. The scriptures, they speak about a fountain that has the idea of a never-ending supply. And so a comfort for that church that may fight in that warfare, and that love that is also not only bountiful, but so unchanging, that no matter what it is in our life, all the wanderings away from Him, that there is nothing because of that banner, because of that love, that is able to keep that church out of His communion. Oh, that is a banner, and that is a motto, that is comforting, that is animating that church. Oh, it is directing them also. It directs them where to stand. You know what a banner does. Then that army, they are gathering round that banner that is keeping them all together, so that there is a unity in that church. And so it is that love of Christ over the whole length and breadth of the whole world, there is nothing that more keeps that church united as one than the love of Christ. Oh, it directs that church, that militant church, how to fight, that they may follow His example, that example of love in this world. I have forgiven you, forgive ye also one another. Oh, His banner over me was love, comforting, directing her, and encouraging her also in that warfare. When she may feel from day unto day how that she from her own side is falling time and time again, and she cannot keep as she would, oh, the good that I would I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. Oh, and yet she says, His banner over me was love. And then there is encouragement once again, that she may see that warfare, and that is so completely finished, that everything is so completely done from His side, and that all that is coming from the side of that church, that there is not one jot, there is not one tittle that needs to be added unto all that He has accomplished for them. Oh, His banner over me was love. And that becomes the song of the church by moments here below. And when their heart may be overwhelmed by that love by moments, and that will be the song of the church forever and forever. When they will magnify Him and they will glorify Him. Oh, the Lord, give us more and more thought of Him. When He says, do this in remembrance of me, or that we may learn more and more to fight under this banner. And then it is necessary that we be kept close, because when there may be some communion by times with Him, then we may feel something of that love, and then we may fight unto the last breath under this banner of love. Let us sing Psalter 53, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. And afterwards, the communicants may return to their seats. 53, 1, 2, and 4. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, at the quiet waters by. 1, 2, and 4 of 53. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore, and God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. And thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain his Holy Supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 376, stanzas 1 and 6. Praise Jehovah for his love. God of gods, enthroned above, praise the mighty King of kings, who alone doth wondrous things. For his mercy doth endure, ever faithful, ever sure. 376, 1 and 6. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.